This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. The Obama administration placed sanctions on several Taliban leaders this week, freezing their assets and banning them from travel. This is aimed at stopping them from directing and funding efforts against U.S. and coalition forces who are fighting in Afghanistan, but come across from safe havens in Pakistan. NPR photographer David Gilkey joins us now in our studios. He recently returned from a seven-week trip to Afghanistan, where he was embedded with the 101st Airborne outside of Kandahar City. David, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And a very powerful piece that you have produced for our website. This area is the birthplace of the Taliban, isn't it?
Specifically where the 101st is, it's the backyard, the neighborhood where it all started.
One of the things they talk about in your piece is that they will talk to people who they certainly have reason to think are actual Taliban fighters that just happen not to be armed at that moment.
That's the essence of sort of a guerrilla warfare, is you don't know, you cannot separate friend from foe. You can be talking to a guy who's picking grapes in one of the grape fields one moment, and 5 minutes later he can be shooting from behind a tree at you. You just don't know who is who.
What's the terrain like?
Unbelievable. Imagine, you know, most people have been in a grape vineyard. Trellises where the grapes are strung up every year and they go along the wires. These are sort of 100-year-old, 6 to 8 foot piles of mud that the grapes grow out of. And so to navigate this terrain is utterly impossible. To go 100 yards could take an hour.
And we should explain that these are kind of mud embankments and slippery, treacherous places that a U.S. soldier in the 101st Airborne has to navigate with. I forget how heavy the packs are at this point, but that and bulletproof vest and everything else that a modern soldier carries.
Absolutely. And the thing is they cannot walk on any path, period. If from point A to point B, the easiest way to do it is to take a path, you can't do that. So you end up walking through the creeks. You end up climbing over 100 mud walls to get to somewhere that would have taken you 10 minutes to walk to if you could walk on the path. Because everything, if it looks easy to walk there, it means there's a mine there.
So how do you take photographs and record audio?
At the same time?
Yeah.
We are required to wear the same protective gear that they are. That means a bulletproof vest and a helmet. I've devised a little holder that Velcros onto my helmet. Anytime we're out walking around, I am recording everything that's going on my head.
I think the moment of your presentation that's on our website that will get to a lot of people in particular is when there's a soldier who says to you, you can imagine doing this for a day, you can imagine doing it for a week, but a year? And yet a year is exactly their mission.
Right. I was with these guys 2 weeks, and every day we did 2 to 3 patrols. Most of them, we came under fire. Some of the fire is some of the intensest gunfighting that I've seen in Afghanistan, or Iraq for that matter. To the point when my embed was up, usually you could stay a little longer. Yeah. In this particular case, I felt like, okay, I think we have enough. But I think there's a totally different mindset for them. It's a long time.
I think all soldiers think that they might have 1, 2, or 3 lucky breaks coming. But that kind of intensity over a year, you wonder if you don't run out of luck.
Right. I go back and forth between Afghanistan every year. I went to Iraq every year. And that was always the question amongst sort of the journalists, I think, was when you leave, do the dice reload? Or are you just stacking up bad karma? And I don't have an answer to that.
David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And here's David Gilkey, and you can see his audio slideshow, photos of the 101st Airborne engaged in their mission in Afghanistan at our website, npr.org.